Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. We have had quite a week this week. Tremendous. One of the things that we like to do is make sure that we hold this government accountable for their action and inaction. We have an obligation to make sure that they do the right thing and hold them accountable. But before I get into it, I want to tell you what we're doing today. Why have police sexual misconduct escaped the Me Too movement? Give them those sexual assaults from the entertainment industry, Silicon Valley, the news business, even the halls of Congress have begun to confront the abusers. At least one group has remained silent, and it's not for lack of numbers. Misconduct by police is typical, perceived as a matter of excess, even deadly force. But if state records of police license revocations are any measure, sexual misconduct by police is a much more common problem. That is correct. In Berrien County, Michigan, more than 50 women has been sexually assaulted. These 50 women is all white, no black, all white women. And nothing has been done about it. Matter of fact, what they used to do or what they would do is that when the women get out of jail, they would set up a date with the women. One cop even went on Backpage, and I have no idea what Backpage is. But she was prostituted from the Backpage. Keenan Trail. Looked her up on Backpage. Made a date with her. Agreed to pay her only $60. And met her at the hotel, paid for the hotel, with his uniform on. With his sheriff's department uniform on, and had sex with this lady. He claimed it was only 3-4 times. But then he thought that he was going to get it free without paying. It was brutal. Then you had one police officer who took a woman, a prostitute who had just gotten out of jail, up to his training section in Detroit. He had to go for training. And he took her up there, got a hotel, and sexually abused her. They even had these women. They were given, and they're in jail. It was two women. They was in jail. They was washing the police officer's car. They gave them the keys to the car so they can drive the car. Have you ever heard of this? These people was driving the sheriff's department cars, was driving the sheriff's department cars. Can you believe this? They was drinking soda. They actually was given money by this sheriff deputy to buy themselves sodas and whatever. Go into the lady's cell at night, ones who worked on midnight shift, and sexually harass them. They would make them dance buck naked in the elevator. I have it all. I got the deposition of all the officers. and not one of these officers went to jail. I went to the city council meeting to tell the councilmen about this. Well, no, they've been trying to keep it hush-hush. But I went out and got the deposition of 7 of the possibly 10 officers, 15 of the possibly 50 women that were sexually assaulted. And here's the kicker. Now listen to this. This one girl told Kenyon Trail, he's the sheriff here, nephew. He thought he was bigger than life. He thought that he was bigger than life. Yes, he did. He thought he was a big guy. He thought that he could do. The only one person could possibly do this and get away with it. The sheriff himself, nephew. The sheriff told him that he need to resign. That he need to resign right now. And when he resigned, they gave him another job at the road commissioner that made more money. Now, this is what's going on here in Benton Harbor, Michigan, St. Joseph, Bering County. We are the only people where these women could get sexually assaulted. Position on them. They admitted that they was doing all these things, and not one single person went to jail. Nobody went to jail. It's unfortunate that we allow stuff like this to happen. It's unfortunate that these people are going to be able to get away with this. But the reason why they're able to get away with it is that nobody will hold them accountable for their action. And then action. And here's the kicker is. It starts with the county officials, the elected officials. That's where it starts. It starts with them. If they don't step up and do what they're supposed to do, this is how it's happened. The corruption rolls on. And there's not a single person in this world that will do something. By these being white women that they're attacking, you would think that the county commissioners, who are the boss of the sheriff's department, really, other than the sheriff, because he's an elected official, that they would step in and say nothing, because they're being sued. Right now, there's over 20 cases in federal court about someone being sued for sexual assault on a person. And they got the Herald-Plain newspaper, which is a fascist newspaper. That's exactly what it is. It don't print the truth. It will not print the truth. And you can't even make them print the truth, because the people who they're protecting are usually the ones who buys the newspaper. Amazing to me. Just amazing to me. Amazing. I'm going to have my good friend, Dr. Tucker, on later. I don't see his number at this time, but I know that he's going to call in. And he's going to get a chance to tell you about several things. And just to let you know where we stand and how we're doing things, we want to stay focused and take this thing to another level. So I want to bring in at this time a very, very good friend of mine, one of the leaders in the community in Detroit, a girl who knows what she's doing, knows what she's talking about when she talks, knows exactly what needs to be done. She's a strong fighter. She's a real soldier. She's someone who will stand up against all this corruption that exists in Detroit. But my question to all my listeners, how do we let the police, law enforcement, misuse our women? And nobody is talking about it. Nobody. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's law enforcement. You know, we put our arms around these guys. I'm talking about 50 women. 50 women has been attacked. It's written. It's in court now. You can look it up. 50 women. 50 women bring in Marcina. Marcina Cole, are you there? Marcina Cole, are you there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I can hear you.
Okay, I don't know what's going on with my phone. I'm sorry. How you doing this evening? And thank you for having me on your show. What's happening is what we have going on in Michigan, in Detroit, Wayne County, Oakland County, Macomb County, where we have the police department, the law enforcers, who are racially profiling people of color when they drive their vehicles, when they walk or ride a bicycle, or standing at the bus stop, can be accosted by the police. And a situation recently happened was a gentleman on December the 10th, his name was William Marshall. He was stopped by the Westland Police. And they said that he had a suspended license and he had drugs in his vehicle. He was taken to jail, and a couple of other cellmates had witnessed this gentleman had some kind of a medical emergency, and he pleaded with the police to take him to the hospital. He was ignored, and a couple of these witnesses, they're afraid to really come forward who they are because they were there at the police station also being in a jail cell. And it was what they said, that the sergeant of the police department denied a medical emergency team when they came out there to the police station to take him to the hospital, and he said no. Well, the gentleman eventually died. I don't know what type of emergency he had, whether it was a heart attack or what. And there was a rumor that he had ingested cocaine and all that. Of course, you know the news is going to distort the truth. I don't know how toxicology report came so fast that they determined this. And this is what the type of tainted news that they have in trying to basically criminalize this gentleman because he had a suspended license. And so I'm not going to listen to that part, but I'm just saying on this radio station what they had put out there. It was his fault because he died.
Mm-hmm.
It's the police fault for pulling him over in the first place. But I guarantee if it had been a white person, he would have been down the road in his vehicle in his merry way, and he just got finished smoking some whatever you call it, meth, or however they do it, ingest that meth or heroin or whatever. But they get treatment. They don't get locked up and plead for help when they're sick. They shoot up folks, white folks shoot up folks, and don't, when the police arrive, they don't kill them. But this guy, as far as I'm concerned, the police officer killed William Marshall. He was 35 years of age and had a family. And he did not deserve to die. And as far as I'm concerned, they turned their back on this guy when he cried for help. What the police are saying now, that our lives don't matter. How dare the officers, what they say now on social media, Blue Lives Matter, but they can add that ours don't. We are human beings, and we're treated like animals. Their dogs are treated better than us, and they hate us.
Mm.
It's the infiltration of the KKK. So what I wanted to add also, there was a rally that was on social media announcing about having a rally at Westland Police Department located on Ford Road. And I had gone there. It was very, very cold, windy, snowy. It's almost like freezing temperatures. And I had a sign that basically said killer cops, and you know, I had the KKK, that means stands for Ku Klux Klan cops, and you know, stop killing us or whatever, needs to stop. Nevertheless, it was a sign that didn't have a lot of writing to it, but it was a strong message out there that we're sick and tired of the cops killing us. I was approached by a gentleman, a very heavy set black guy. I assumed he was one of the organizers, and he looked at my sign. It was like a checkpoint, like I was going to Mexico or something, you know, and he looks at my sign, and he says, first he embraced me, like, welcome here or whatever, and then he says, oh, you have KKK on there. Now, you know, we can't have that. I thought he was kidding me. And I just walked away and proceeded to walk with others as they march. You know, the crowd got larger. People were coming in, and some folks were going, I guess, leaving because it was so cold. But I thought it was a decent crowd there. And from what I gathered, I saw the NAN's logo on various signs. And then I knew the National Action Network was the one who basically put this together. What I read in some of the various articles about this Westland rally, that according to the director of the National Action Network chapter of Inkster, that the family had came to them. I don't know who came to who. All I know is the National Action Network was out of line to tell folk what they can have on their signs, what they can and what they can't have. So when the gentleman approached me, I just walked away. Nevertheless, 15 minutes later, a young woman came with a sign that had some, F the police, some profanity on there, whatever. She was stopped by the same gentleman who approached me about me saying KKK on my sign, and he told her she couldn't have that sign. She, you know, basically had to remove it, and so she wanted to walk along with me. We were talking, three of us were talking, three ladies were talking, and wanted to take a picture with my sign by myself. I had someone that I was planning on having someone that I knew to take my picture. All of a sudden, this big dude came to the woman with the sign, about F police. And he got an argument with her, and I thought he was going to physically assault her because he got very, very close in her space. And so I, you know, looked. It happened so fast. The next thing I know, she told him, you know, she had every right to have her sign, you know, what she had on there. You know, that was her prerogative, and she was supporting the family of the gentleman who lost his life, who was killed by the police. And, unfortunately, he got extremely angry and swiftly had tore her sign. And I was so shocked. I took a couple photos, but I didn't get the front of their face or whatever, but I took a couple of shots with my phone camera, but a few people had, you know, talked to this gentleman and says, hey, you know, you have no right to tear her sign. Why'd you do that? You know, people were, you know, really kind of upset about it, and it got to the point it actually abruptly stopped. The march abruptly stopped, you know, and people just kind of gathered for a few moments. But my point is, National Action Network, who were they for? Are they supporting police? Are they concerned about what the police thought about the various signs? Or were they there for their family? Or were they there for themselves? And it just took the message away. There was no police out there. I heard they were there earlier when most people didn't show up at that time, the chief of police or whatever. But there was no presence of the police. According to the organizer, they didn't want to offend the police. Okay, this is what was told to me. And I just didn't get it. Why are you worried about the police when they killed this gentleman? And I consider it a murder. When you look at somebody, you know they're dying, and you don't seek help for this person. Garden City Hospital is just a few miles away. It could have saved his life. And so this is what we go on, what goes on in the state of Michigan when it comes down to the police. I know about it. I experienced it personally. And I will stand between a bullet and my relative, my son, my daughter. I will go between those police, which I've done recently. And it's very intimidating when you got a lot of white supremacist police officers that hate your guts. They hate our guts, people of color. And this what's going on, not in just the state of Michigan, but across this country. What are we going to do about it? Are we just going to walk around and not say anything? Well, we must demand justice for that gentleman who lost his life and for all the brothers and sisters across the country who have continuously been killed by the police, and they go on like nothing matters at all. Their lives did not matter. They say Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group. Why? Because we want to love our own people. We got to be a terrorist group. So we're dealing with a lot. And I say to black folks, don't attack us because we want justice. You need to attack the person who's the evil doer that's killing us for no reason whatsoever and getting away with it. But when they kill us, but if we do something to them, meaning the Europeans, the white folk, we're going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Self-defense or whatever. They ain't trying to hear that. And we shot a white person because they got a gun and you don't want to die, so you're going to shoot them first. They will take you out and give you 30, 40 years. But on the other hand, somebody
mm-hmm.
killed me as a black woman, I'm going down. So my point
That's
is
right.
All of us connected, what's going on. We want justice, and I know it's unfortunate. This gentleman never, he's gone. But the family, I heard, is suing. But, you know, I know they rather have his life, but it could be anybody's family member. We must understand to align ourselves, support people who have lost their lives by the hands of the police, and even in a black community where we blacks are killing each other. So we need to support and say enough is enough. We need to come together and stop waiting on the white man to help us because they ain't trying to help us. We need to help ourselves. And that's the story. That's what's happening with the situation with Westland Police. But I was very perturbed when it came down with this gentleman focusing on what folks got on their signs. It makes no sense. You need to be finding out what went on behind the police behind the bars in the jail cell and find out who was in charge, lieutenant, whoever was in charge, supervisor in the police department,
mm-hmm.
and get some answers and have them release the video or whatever. Don't worry about other stuff that does not matter about when somebody comes in and what they wrote, because the words on somebody's sign did not kill that man.
Absolutely.
It was the police.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
And you know what? And let me say this to you, Marcina. See, we so busy fighting with each other, that's why we can't get nothing done. Now, this guy is nothing. Any time that you see the NAACP and NAN doing anything, I think it's time to walk away from them folks, because I know that they're not going to do anything. They're not for justice. You know, they're out there trying to get their name. Now, this guy go and take this girl's side. What if that was a male? Would he have took a man's side? Would he? I know he said he's
saying no, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. But
one guy told me at the store, I left, I had to leave. You know, I had to leave abruptly, and not, but nevertheless, I spoke to a total stranger, and it was a tall, a young black male, and I told him what happened at that, because I was still in the proximity where the rally was, and I told the gentleman what happened. He said, you know what, it would not have happened to me if I was there.
No, and I say the same thing.
You know,
it wouldn't happen to me.
Statement. Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
So I know no matter how he was trying to be intimidating, because he was really a big guy, it makes no sense. But we do need to stop fighting each other, because I see that quite a bit. And this ain't the first time I heard about Nan telling folks what to have as far as the signs and what they got to do next. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, what is
mm-hmm.
this? Is this supposed to be for TV or what? You know, this ain't real.
Uh-huh.
You know, you telling folks what to do during a demonstration and how to act and all that. So, we going to move it forward, and I know what rallies to attend and what not at this point.
Absolutely. And you know, always remember, but I know you didn't know that Nan had anything to do with that. This is that Nan in Detroit. I wouldn't go across the street to be with them. I wouldn't, because I know who they are. You know, Al Sharpton and his group. Who want to hang around with Al Sharpton? Who want to do things with Al Sharpton and the NAACP? Wendell Anthony from Detroit and all this kind of stuff. See, that's trouble right there. And that's why they're able to shoot and kill. If they kill you, it's justifiable homicide. I don't care what happened, whether you had a gun, a stick, a pencil, a purse, or a cell phone, you just one dead sister. Just one sister. And look, your family can moan and do, but see, one way that we, you know, if we was halfway together, this stuff couldn't happen. It would not happen. Because then they would be afraid, because we're 50 million strong. There are 50 million black people in this country. But it's like it's only 300-400, because we're all so divided up. Nobody wants to be part of a movement. Somebody want to start their own movement. Somebody want to do this. It's all, and then they fight against this movement. This is what's happening today, Marcina. We got to change the way we do business. And you know what? Here's the good news. We can do it. We can change the way we're doing business. We can change the way we act. We can stand together. And I hate to say this, but some of us don't have to get killed. You know, see, sometimes that's the only thing they understand. You know, there's a book, The Spook Who Sat by the Door, by Sam Greenlee. He's from Detroit. You heard of it. Get that book and read it. That tells you. It lays out the great game plan of what needs to be done. You got to get that book and read it, and then tell other people about it, because we're not strong enough mentally to just defeat. But we're 50 million strong. Do you know what 50 million? You know what 10 million people can do? We're bigger than some countries. You know, we're begging these people to do the right thing. They have no intention of doing the right thing. They have no history doing the right thing. If you have no history, how do we expect them to do the right thing? That is not going to happen. So when you're walking down the street, you better be looking behind you because the police running out. I got this button that says, beware. Beware police in the area. And and it says, danger, danger. Because, like I said, their goal is to shoot to kill, not to wound.
Oh, no.
You know, but listen,
shoot to kill, not to wound.
That's right. They want to shoot to kill and not to wound. But look, I got to bring in my good friend, Dr. Hunter. I really appreciate you being on. And Dr. Hunter, he's going to talk about stuff that's almost like what you talked about that's happening in St. Louis, you see, which makes a big difference that we have to learn. See, we still don't get it, Monsignor. We still don't get it. Detroit is one of the biggest, baddest cities, and I mean bad by people that's willing to stand up, but they're all divided up. They're willing to stand up, but they're all divided up. When you divide it up, that's what you do. So I really appreciate you coming on, and that's a great story how this guy from Nan just took the girl's sign and tore it up. Wow, who would believe
that's
that?
That's right.
Wow.
I was witness right
she
next
out
door.
And she out there in the cold, too. She's out there in the cold.
Really cold.
Man. Man, oh, man.
Yes.
All right, young lady, I really appreciate you. God bless you. All right. That was my good friend, Marcina, from Detroit City. I got to bring in my good friend, Dr. Hunter, better known as Red. My man, Big Red. What happened, Big Red?
You got it, Reverend Pinkett. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking. That's all I can do.
Good. Well, I enjoyed those conversations just recently had, Reverend Pinkett.
Oh, well, thank you there, young man. I'm pretty sure that you got some information you want to give us also.
I do. You know, it's going down in St. Louis, you know, and one of the things is about us is we got to stop talking and spread the word, because in St. Louis, we're at ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking brothers and sisters nationwide to join the St. Louis boycott campaign. You notice I didn't say movement. This is a campaign. We must boycott the businesses. You can go to AfricanAmericanVoice.net. We must boycott these businesses that St. Louis African-American leaders have selected because we are ground zero. This is the way we're going to send a message to other businesses that take advantage of our communities. Businesses use their profits to build their communities and don't build our communities. So if you go to our website, AfricanAmericanVoice.net, or you go to the newspaper, because we are working together in St. Louis. No justice, no profit. You'll be able to see a video out there. And also go to a newspaper called African News World. And it's important because what that sister talked about is so important. We got to spread the word. And the word is, you kill us, we kill your economy. And all of the corporations are guilty. But it's important to note that we got to start with a select few. And that way we will send a message to the rest of them that if they don't start doing the right thing and stop taking profit out of community and not reinvesting in the community where they're taking the money out of, then they're going to be in trouble. They're already in trouble because we are ground zero, and we have a list of businesses from Avis Budget, Phillips 66, Shell, Target, Burger King, Dillard, the Loop, Del Mars, when you come to St. Louis, don't go there. Walmart, Snooks, area in Richmond Heights, you know, where they basically throughout the country, they profile our youth. Napleton, Nissan in St. Louis, U.S. Bank, Blue Airline, and NFL. And this is just the beginning of a movement nationwide to hold these people accountable. Like I say, it's going down in St. Louis, and this is just the beginning of a select list of businesses that we must send a message to that we are not playing. And I guarantee you, once they start losing money and clearly understand that we're not playing, they're going to have to work with those legislators, like you said, city council and county commission and other people, to say, let's do the right thing by our people.
And, you know, you're right on point, doctor, because here's something that's important, too. You know, we were we had an incident here in Benton Harbor where a Indian or Arab, whatever, you know, that he may have been, they treat black people so bad here. They keep the little children out of you know, like pennies. They keep the penny. If it's a dollar and 25 cents, they keep 75 cents. If they, you know, if it's a $1.49, it keeps 51 cents. That's and the little kids don't know, and the mama don't quiz them because she's so busy doing other things. Seem like and created this. But this one girl who was who's a black girl, a friend, but her family was a friend of, was my friend. And she was working for the Indian. And he wanted to date her, you know. And she didn't want to date him, you know. But she was also trying to keep her job also. That's one of the Me Too situations. And he hauled off and slapped her. And then shot a hole in the wall because she wouldn't go out with him. The prosecutor refused to arrest him. And we got involved in that, and we started picking in his store. And we put his store out of business. We wouldn't let nobody come into that store, you know. And we will not patronize your store. And sure enough, the prosecutor came out and arrested this guy after we put so much pressure on him, and they gave him 6 months in jail, and the store we closed the store down. But this just said what you do. If you go out there and work as a team, you can do things. And I like what you just said. All these stores, put them stores out there. Let people know which stores to pick it, which stores to boycott, which stores that you want to protest, and then
let me interrupt. Reverend Pinkney, it's important to realize that we are doing a select. All of them are guilty. All of them are guilty. So we got to deal with a select group of businesses to send a message to the rest of them, and we've already identified in St. Louis. And as you talk about the Arabs, you know, they're enslaving our people in Libya, and they're also pimping our brothers and sisters in every damn city, and I wouldn't have been rather so bad till I talk with some of the people in the hood. They take our sister's food stamp, give them half value of the food stamp, and they are doing, you know, and selling single cigarettes. They're doing all kinds of things in our community. So we're going to add to this list as we move along, but we're going to start with the select list, and these Arabs must be held accountable in all throughout the United States of America because they're pimping the women, our sisters, who are, you know, on welfare, and they're taking advantage of the people in our neighborhood, and they're not putting a damn thing back in the community, and they are exploiting, they're enslaving our people in Africa, other Africans in Africa. Yeah. So these guys must be held accountable, Reverend Pinkney. You know, and as I talk with brothers and sisters in the hood in St. Louis, you know, they're very, very disappointed, disturbed, you know what I mean, that the city government, the county government, and state allow these type of things to happen, and they don't hold them accountable. They are criminals, and they're allowed to do it, and no one doing anything about it.
You're 100% correct, but that's why we have to take this matter and go out there and do what needs to be done. And you see, one of the things, I don't worry about what other people do. It's more important what I do. And I have to go out there and stand up for these people who won't stand up for themselves. And we got so many people who refuse to go out there and stand up and fight for what's right. You know, we're at war. We don't even know we're at war. We're just not fighting the war. Let me tell you something, Reverend Pinkney.
There's a silent war against us. As I send the press release out and email about what we're doing in St. Louis, so you know that they are blocking them and we can't get them out from our laptop and computer. So there's a lot going on related to how they're trying to stop us from communicating and getting the message out to our people. So I need your endorsement of the St. Louis boycott campaign. And I sent you the information. I want you to spread it all over the country and let the people realize that we're not playing. This is ground zero, and we do have the power. I'm telling my friends, my family members, and then conscious people, including those so-called white folks in the Black Lives Matter movement, because that's also controlled by whites, and they claim they're with us, but the people getting the money are the attorneys, and from my understanding, they're getting grants and all kind of money on behalf of black folks, and yet they are not there to really support our campaign. So this is a challenge to them who are listening to your program. Join the St. Louis Boycott Campaign, because Black Lives Matter, from my understanding of research, their movement is controlled by whites. They have attorneys here in St. Louis who work with the movement, and they're not in our community, not doing anything for us. They're just there, and I understand they're getting all kind of money just to keep the campaign going. So we got to educate our people, too, in the process.
Absolutely. And, you definitely have my endorsement. And what I would do, send me a flyer, another flyer, and every week I will make that announcement. And I will send it out to my email list to people so they know exactly that I support what's going on with you and what's happening in St. Louis, that I want to be part of what's going on there. And we have to join forces.
Let me say this, Reverend Pinkney. It's not about me. It's about the unborn babies. It's
no.
about our youth for themselves. And, I find this
Absolutely.
Problem even worse for my black folks. They want to make me the bad image, when I speak up. But the truth is, we got to tell the truth. This is about our unborn babies, our youth, and the people that don't have a voice for in the community. And so it's up to us. God has given us the know-how and the skills
yes.
and talent to expose these people and try to make this a better city, county, state, and country. So that's what we're about.
Hey, you know what? And I know that. And I know it's about you, but I want to be part of it because you're part of it, and I know what you're all about. And anything that's going to protect the future of our children, I'm part of it. And that's what you're doing now. And like I said, it's going to be some casualties. And whether we like it or not, that's reality. But we got to move forward. We got to make sure that we come together some kind of way. Because like I said earlier, we're 50 million strong, 50 million. But we act like it's only about 10,000 of us, And they act like it because they got everybody so divided. But listen.
Well, you're absolutely right, Reverend. But we have the power, and we got to stop talking about it, spending our money with those, the select businesses we have on the list. And that will show them, that will send a clear message who we are and we're not playing.
Amen. And listen, you got 2 minutes. I got to bring in my good friend Doug. And whatever you want to say, just say it. On my show, you can say whatever your heart desires.
I'm going to just repeat what I said.
I do want to warn you,
please,
Russians listening.
Please support the St. Louis Boycott. You can go online. You can go to Google, African News World. You can go to No Justice, No Profit, and also the African American Voice newspaper. We have that in our newspaper, and it's real simple. We need to spread the word and make it clear. You kill us, we kill your economy. We're going to start with a select group of business, and it's going to spread like a wildfire. And believe me, we still have people going to those businesses. We understand. They're not aware. They're unconscious. But once the people who become aware and conscious, we are going to make a difference. So because we have a power. We have a power to change this thing in this country for our people.
And all we have to do is use it. If we use that power, we can change a lot of stuff. They got people all over this country, man. They got us so divided up, little teams that we can't make a difference because everybody wants to be something different, And stop spending our money on these wheels, these Jordan gym shoes. Stop spending your money. I saw a pair of gym shoes that cost $5,000. It blew my mind.
Wow. Yeah, we got to expose those people like the NAACP, Urban League, taking money from these corporations. I mean, those people are oppressors. They're only working with a select group of people, and they're not. Both of them claim to be civil rights organizations. They're afraid to say civil rights. They're afraid to file complaints and lawsuits on behalf of black folks and expose those judges who are members of Ku Klux Klan, where our brothers and sisters have to go before them in the court system, And it's time to expose them. People got to be aware that those people are not our friends.
That's right. That's right. You said the magic word. But listen, I got to go. I got to let you go.
All right.
Keep Dr. Hunter. But I mean, Tucker, I will talk to you soon, and let's you know whatever you need me to do, call me and let me know you got me.
All right, keep your struggle alive, because it's all about our ancestors and unborn babies. We must not let our ancestors down.
Amen.
Okay.
I agree 100%. All right, thank you, my brother.
All right, stay
thank
strong.
You. My good friend, I will. That's my good friend there, F, very good friend. Hey, let's bring in my good friend Doug. He's from Colorado, and he's out there with there's no snow out there, is my understanding. Doug, are you there? Doug, are you there? Let me move on. All righty. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, and I'm blessed to be here with you, and thank you for everything that you do.
Well, you know what? It's been a real struggle, though, Roz. It's been a real struggle. But we got to stay focused. If we can't stay focused, we can't get things done. So that's just
right,
and
we need everybody's help to win. We can't win alone. We need everybody.
Absolutely. You said the magic word. And you know what? It's amazing. How's things going with your doctor?
Well, I went to court again this week. I'm going into 18 years of my workers' comp case. It seems the other lawyer just wanted to make some money coming to court, of course. I mean, it's a sick joke. 18 years, I have a workers' comp case. This is because I haven't given up. This is because from day one, they've already admitted that I'm totally disabled from my students spraying me in my face with toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. Now I'm waiting for the doctors, which they're fooling around, for me to go see for evaluations and consultations. I haven't even been treated yet.
Amazing.
It's disgusting.
And
where's all the other injured workers that need to stand up, that their lawyers tell them not to say anything, and then they settle for nothing?
And one thing about the school system, they be bullying some of the teachers, don't they?
Yeah, they bully everybody. Look at the older teachers in teacher jail because they want their money. They haven't done anything. It's okay that they ruin their lives. Then you get injured, and like Charles Smith, he's dead from being sprayed in his face with toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. They can't call the paramedics. They're free. They can't clean up the room. They can't send hazmat to clean up the room. They have billions of dollars. And where is that money? And our students are on the lowest rung of the ladder and the world ratings.
Wow.
They make them stupid. The kids are stupid. They want them stupid. All they want is their vote.
Wow.
That's all they want.
It's just
disgusting. It's sickening. While I was in court, I went up. I didn't run. I don't run. I was getting sick there. I'm so exhausted from the experience that I went up to State Senator Hertzberg's office, the state senator that gave us this new gas tax that's so high, to tell him how terrible it was and how they ruined the state of California, the schools, the roads, the poor. Where's all the money for the poor? Where's the money to fix the roads? Nothing gets done here.
Absolutely. You're right on point. Yeah, you're right. Hey, Rob, listen, I hate to cut you off right now, but I got to bring in my guest. But next week, if you call in first, I'm going to let you, I'll give you more time, okay? Because people need to know your story. All right.
Thank you
so much, Roz.
And blessings to everyone.
All right now. All right. Let me see. Is Doug, are you there?
Yes, sir. I was here before, Doug. But you couldn't hear me.
I couldn't hear you. You was talking, and you were. Look, how you say you was talking, but you wasn't talking. That's how that works. You know, it's just so amazing when you see how this thing operates. You know, they're in control. The government. You know, we got some Russians on our calls too. You know, it said 3% of all my listeners are from Russia, Norway. Even
that's
Norway,
amazing,
right? Which was coming up in the news. You know. Denmark, and only 89% of my callers are from the United States. So 11% is from around the world. So that's a blessing, you know. But
that's
we
exciting.
Need to know what's going, what's going on in this country. So that's how exciting I am, you know. But I tell you, Doug, it's been quite a week for me this week. Things are rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking. You know, I got my new church and school. So things looking good, Doug.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Whatever happened to your friend? What happened to him?
What friend?
The one that called me that day. That you was on the line.
Let me think.
He
you mean at
me
the
from
house?
California. Yeah.
Yeah,
he called me from California.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he is today, but anyway, as we all know, tomorrow is Reverend Martin Luther King Day, and so we want to prepare and honor his legacy, and his murder needs to be exposed, and also the fact that the feds were attacking him. And then, of course, next weekend is Sunday is the national abortion issue with the right to life, and where the Catholics and the Protestants are getting together to help expose what's going on. And they say that about 50% of all black babies are aborted. Is that right?
I have no idea. You know, I never thought about it. I never aborted a baby. My brothers never aborted a baby. My cousins never aborted a baby. Nobody I know ever aborted a baby. But if they say it, that's if they give me the facts, I'll believe it. But I have not known not one person in my lifetime to have aborted a baby. That
really?
I have not.
That's fantastic.
And I know a lot of people. And I know a lot about their personal life because people talk to me from all over the country in reference to stuff like that, and which is so amazing to me. I hear these numbers, and I'm not saying it's not happening. Now, don't get me wrong on that, but I just don't know nothing about it. And which somebody else came to me with that. With those figures, and I had to tell him the same identical thing. That's something I have not personally had any contact with, you know, and I don't know nobody. I don't know where they would do it around. We do have a Planned Parenthood there, but I don't have any knowledge of anybody. As a matter of fact, I don't even ever see anybody going into the Planned Neighborhood or whatever it is. I don't see no cars. There don't even be no cars over there.
Oh, praise the Lord.
But you know, amen. I was in Detroit, and I was talking to a young man, and he was pretty much saying the same thing. And I have to tell him, I really can't identify with that because that's information I don't have. I don't have any knowledge in reference to that. And I just believe that we have to keep moving. I think one of the something even more important is for us to stand up and deal with justice, you know, for the people who don't. You know, to me that's a bigger issue for me. I believe that that somebody have to take a stand and do what needs to be done. I want to get the people here in Benton Harbor working and thinking differently about different things. when things happen, I want them to be prepared mentally to go forward with it. And that's why I want to train them. I want to train them to be their own boss, so they don't have to work for nobody. I want them to get out there and give them the formula to do what needs to be done. That's what I want to do, and that's my level of concentration. And to deal with this court system and deal with these killer cops. See, those things that stands out with me, because other things, if most things that most people talk about, I have no knowledge about that. You see, my knowledge is strictly about justice, and that's, you know, is something that I do. But I know that, you know, you're back in the box again. And when last time you talked to my good friend Ken?
I just talked to him last week, because he was he's in Nevada and in Las Vegas regarding the third trial of the Bundy people in Oregon, who one was murdered when he had his hands up, and then of course the others surrendered, and they've been in jail for over 2 years, and so Clive and Bundy just got out of jail about 4 days ago.
They found him not guilty, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
They found, the Bundys were found not guilty.
Right, and you know, 3 years ago, I went to, maybe it was 2.5, two of us drove it from midnight until 10 a.m. from Colorado to where the Clive and Bundy was having a standoff with the BLM, Bureau of Land Management.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there, and we confronted the BLM, and they had automatic weapons, and we had nothing. But we rescued the cattle that day. And then the following Monday, 2 days later, we had a new big news conference there. And, of course, the sheriff was very embarrassed, because he was not supporting the people. He was supporting the bureaucrats, you know, the BLM.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
amazing
so,
when you sit down and see.
Yeah, so Kenny told me he was going to be there in Las Vegas. I told him I was coming there on the 30th of January and be there for 2.5 weeks. And I wanted to know if he was going to be there. And he said, no, I'll be leaving here about the 19th, go back home. Normally he drives every place, but he's flying this time.
He normally drives. That's a good thing. But something? Pete Sam Kelly now, he pled guilty to something he shouldn't have pled guilty to, according to Ken.
I think Pete only got a misdemeanor, though, instead of a felony.
Right.
I think for time served, he didn't have to serve any more time.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the plea bargain.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, but listen.
Now,
Reverend
Pinckney?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Friday and Saturday, which is February 2nd and 3rd, I'm going to hold meetings there in Las Vegas, and I'm going to send out information regarding the location. And just the Denny's on Maryland Parkway. It seats 45 people in the back room there. I think we're going to pack them every night, and I would like to have you as a speaker. Even though you can't make it there, I would like to have you as a speaker to publicize the travesty of what happened to you and how you ended up in jail for, was it about 2.5 years?
That is correct. Well, listen, we just about ran out of time on our show. Call me during the week and let's talk about it.
Will do. Okay. God bless you, and thanks for letting me announce
a
few
take
things.
Take care. All right. Listen, we have just about ran out of time, and I just want to thank all my listeners, and I want to tell people, you know, this is, you know, whether we like it or not, we have to learn to stand together, evil force that's surrounding us. And this is something that we can win if we utilize the forces that we have. You know, we want to take care of our own community, and we can do that. On that note, we have just ran out of time. Thank you so much for listening.